Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Logi. Say hi, guys.
Sup?
Hey.
So this episode is going to be for September 25th, 2020. I think actually going to be the last show for the month. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Next show is going to be beginning of October. Damn, this year flew by, didn't it?
Not fast enough.
Yeah, honestly, 2020 is lagging. It needs to speed the fuck up. This week, it was kind of a week for assholes, as you're going to see. I think this is more or less a record here. We've got five assholes of the week here this week.
Wow.
They're all kind of connected to each other, but yeah.
See, that's called a human centipede.
Yeah. And not the fun kind that you see in the movie films. No. This is just sad and afraid. But we did have some good shit that happened too this week. But amongst other things, I think the big news this week was the continued sort of aftermath of the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and just the sheer hypocrisy showed by the GOP, who have since shown that they really do have no ethics or morals.
And we knew this all along. We were just hoping it wouldn't come to this.
Well, the problem is that the opposition keeps operating under the illusion that they do.
Yeah.
And apparently they haven't woken the fuck up yet. We'll be talking about the fact that Trump's already got someone to nominate to fill her seat. She is a nightmare. And we'll tell you why. And then we got some political news from my state of Georgia. See, one of our people who are running this year put out probably one of the most batshit crazy campaign ads in a long time. We'll tell you about that. Then Fox News kind of admitted the fact that, we're spitting bullshit, and we know it, and we don't care.
Well, didn't they sue for the right to do that a while back?
Yeah, but here they basically just confirm it for good. We'll make it more, we'll elaborate. And then, of course, we got some entertainment news, and unfortunately, TikTok is not going anywhere.
No, it certainly isn't.
F in the chat, because TikTok ain't going anywhere. Not because TikTok is dying, but because my optimism is. But anyway.
Justified, absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, before we get to all that shit, we got to start off the way we always do with what we've been doing this week. So we'll start off with Patrick. Patrick, what are you doing this week?
Just celebrating at this point, because apparently at TGS today, Sega, in a very roundabout way, confirmed Virtua Fighter 6, or some equivalent thereof. And I've been kind of away from the fighting genre for the last few months, and really needed something that could re-spark my interest. This certainly qualifies.
I was like, and what the hell took them so long?
Right? And there was a very interesting tweet when this got announced, celebrating it, from Yoshinori Ono, recently departed from Capcom.
Mm-hmm.
So make your own conclusions there. It's probably too early to say that he has anything to do with this necessarily, but it was interesting timing for as far as I can tell, his first tweet since leaving Capcom. So we'll see where that leads, but there will definitely be more to discuss on that Sunday, I'm sure.
That is interesting.
Yes. apart from that, I'm just going further down this Alienware Alpha rabbit hole, exploring what gaming experiences can be had on it that are really exclusive to it when you put it next to eighth generation platforms. So I'll actually be on the show Sunday for the 300th episode. So I will definitely be elaborating on it there. And I'm really just like, this is opening my eyes to a lot of things about the current state of the console market and what features and consumer assurances really that the hardware manufacturers are leaving on the table for no good reason. And yeah, I'm going to have a lot of things to say, but for right now, let's just say I'm really enjoying this Alienware. So that'll be awesome. It for me this week.
All right, Teresa, what about you?
I have been and am currently playing Animal Crossing again because it's, you know, it's a new season and I need my pine cones and I need my acorns so I can craft crap. And they did a nice little update for what's coming for fall and growing pumpkins and stuff. Sounds like freaking awesome. So I've been doing that. And I also grabbed that game Hades that just came out last week, right after the Nintendo Direct. And I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah, I appreciate a nice mindless hack and slash. I mean, what else can I call it? And there's a little bit of, you know, brain stuff to it, but it's basically pull off your combos and beat the shit out of everything in the area and go on. So yeah, it's definitely, in my opinion, worth the money. Although, weirdly enough, like nobody else in the condo has played it yet. So I don't get that because it's, you know, I don't know. But one half of them has had their head stuck in the TurboGrafx mini and the other, right. And the other is playing, oh shit. What is that game on Steam that I want to play that he keeps playing that I can't play? It's the one with all the damn memes and it starts with a U.
Untitled Shit. Goose Game?
No. That's all the ones that with the memes from like. Never mind. Yeah. Well, God damn it. I'm going to have to start up Steam. But other than that, and I'll come back to that in just a minute, because I kind of get the feeling he's playing Fortnite. He said that the season ends. Yeah. He said the season ends in like 5 weeks or something. And he gave me some money so I could pocket it and he could use my PayPal thing and buy some skin that he wanted. Like, all right, if that's what you want to do with your life, buddy, you go ahead. I mean, it's your money. But we watched, what's that called? The this week's episode of Star Trek Lower Decks. And like every week, you know, I'm just like, God damn it. This week is taken forever. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, hey, there's a new Star Trek Lower Decks. And I get kind of happy. right? It's the little shit.
Those are the best shows.
Yeah. And it's funny. It's so freaking funny. So yeah, we watched that one. And if you guys can find a way to watch it, you know, you should watch it. It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. And then we're still marathoning through as best as we can marathon through with work and crap. The Expanse. Yeah, right? Right? Like, I think I've already told you guys, the whole year was crawling until after Labor Day. And the past 3 weeks have been fairly fast. Fairly fast and full of a shit ton of swearing. I don't know. I got to take back Ghost of Tsushima. I've had it from the library for like a month and I haven't beaten it and I'm so lame, but whatever. I'll just borrow it again after a while. It's kind of sad that I got to take that back. And then I took back already Paper Mario. Oh, sorry, cat. I was so mad about it, I just banged my my metal cabinet. Paper Mario Origami King. I didn't freaking like it, and I'm still pissed. I didn't pay for it, thank God.
But you still want your money back.
I'm not as mad about that as I am about Blair Witch Project, and I'm never fucking letting that one go. I'm still mad about those 2 hours of my life. I'm never going to get it back. But really, that's about it. I'm going to go swimming after we're done here, though. I got the pool reserved for 10 o'clock.
Well, there goes my PSO question.
Oh, shit. Probably tomorrow, though.
Okay, yeah, I'll be around.
It's going to be hot. And I did get back in on Windows, so my problem there was solved.
All right. Awesome. Chris, what about you?
I watched a couple of the more recent releases on Netflix. There's Enola Holmes, which stars Millie Bobby Brown, where she's playing the sister of Sherlock and Mycroft Holmes. And it's a pretty well done movie. So the initial story is that Sherlock and Mycroft kind of go off on their own things. And Enola stays home with her mom, and their father has passed away. And she is kind of homeschooled in all sorts of things, you know, reading, writing, science, math, all that kind of stuff. So she is pretty smart by the time that her mother disappears. And she is kind of thrust back into the lives of Sherlock and Mycroft. And it's set upon this whole backstory of this big reform bill that's about to happen in London, going up for vote. And one of the newest lords has disappeared. And she is kind of going out into the real world of sorts and kind of runs into this whole case. And there's definitely like a layer of, you know, smart, strong teenage girl kind of going into a very kind of sexist British society and kind of showing that at least that she can stand up to a lot of the BS that is expected of women of that era. That kind of thing. Which works out pretty well and kind of sets himself up for maybe potentially like more movies starring her for this. It's pretty fun, well done, kind of action movie of sorts. I also watched Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous, which is like a CG show set. I don't know when it's set in the Jurassic World timeline. I think it's set either before or maybe somewhat concurrent with the first Jurassic World of sorts. So these kids kind of some win like contests to come to Camp Cretaceous. Some have connections to people that are higher ups at the Jurassic World and all that. They get an in on that sort of thing. And the main kid ends up winning like a VR game contest, like play this weird VR dinosaur game. And if you can solve it, beat it, then you can win a trip to this Camp Cretaceous thing. So it's like six kids, that are kind of getting, you know, shown around, the island and all this stuff. And you start seeing the seams of, you know, the typical Jurassic Park or Jurassic World thing of like, oh, this park seems really well designed and thought out. And then you see like the cracks of the chaos that is coming. And so, yeah, it's more kid-friendly Jurassic Park thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't skimp on the danger stuff. Just less of people getting mutilated and that kind of thing, like they do in some of the movies. Yeah, it's kind of just focused around the kids, So like when things go awry, they're kind of left on their own as people are trying to escape the island mm-hmm. of sorts. And so they're kind of left their own devices to try and get away from some of the dinosaurs. And it looks pretty nice. Works out pretty well and sets up for an interesting second season.
Yeah.
That one's worth checking out if you want some more quality Jurassic World content versus mm-hmm. the last movie that wasn't very good.
Nope.
And also we've just been playing Rocket League because that is now mm-hmm. officially free to play. They got all the stuff going for that now and been enjoying it. Kind of working through some of the early like Rocket Pass stuff for this week, which is all centered on the casual multiplayer playlist, which makes mm-hmm. sense when you're introducing a lot of people to the game for the first time. And I think it also has like a, you have to get to level 10 of your like overall count level to yeah. open up the ranked multiplayer stuff yet. So kind of focus on the casual stuff, which is, you know, below where I'm at, but still fun to jump into it and at least have more competency than the average players I'm playing with and against, but still losing because enough bullshit happens.
Well, you're probably also teamed up with some of the new players as well, so
yeah,
that can't be doing any favors.
They don't really surface that stuff. You don't see like levels on people to know that stuff ahead of time. Like the only way you tell is if they don't really have any like cool cosmetic stuff on them, which is kind of one of the things I actually do like about it. Versus like when you go into like Call of Duty, it's like, oh, all these people are level 50. Well, fuck. these are the people that play all this game the entire day, every day, that kind of thing.
Day one prestige.
Yeah. That creates Smurfs to, I don't know, stomp the noobs, I guess, whatever all that shit is. But yeah, it's still a lot of fun. They made some smart kind of evolutions with it. I think they created like a sixth hitbox class of cars. So the new one that they give you with the Rocket Pass is one of those, which is kind of like a big like truck, like big truck kind of van looking thing. So it's kind of like a truck with like a cap on it on the back, a little bit like that. So it's kind of this, big ass vehicle compared to a lot of the other ones that are just kind of more sport car looking things, stuff like that. So very much is one that I assume is going to be a very good like defensive kind of car of just knocking the ball away and just getting a little bit more mm-hmm. Real estate to knock people around and hit the ball with, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been it for the most part for me. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, after having to move a little money around and some negotiations, I actually finally got my hands on a copy of 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim, which is cool. The newest game from Vanillaware and Atlas. And it's fucking amazing. It is goddamn amazing.
As they are wont to do.
Yeah, it's not one. It's not only like this is definitely going in the runnings for my game of the year, even though technically it came out last year.
Yeah, that whole cutoff that we have.
Yeah, I'll probably put it under like a special mention or something. But yeah, this isn't just like one of the best games I've ever played. This is one of the best pieces of science fiction I've ever experienced, period. Like, it's that damn good. So obviously, you know, it's a Vanillaware game, and you know what to expect with a Vanillaware game. It's going to look amazing. And it does. Mm-hmm. It looks amazing. And it's also the first game Vanillaware has done where storytelling is like a major part of the game itself. I mean, it's not, obviously it's not like past VanillaWare games didn't have any story. Obviously, they did.
Not as a focal point.
No, it's not as a focal point. Like, the closest you get up to this point was Odin Sphere, which had a pretty amazing story, but it was not the focal point. It was just one of a few different factors with that game that make it amazing. But this is the one, first one, where it is very, the story is very much a massive part of it, and it's a damn good one. It's basically a, and considering, like, this was written by George Kamitani himself, kind of makes me think.
Talented individual.
Yeah, it's like, wow, he's been kind of holding back a lot all these years, hasn't he? Because, damn, he wrote an amazing scenario here. I'll probably go more in-depth on Sunday when we're doing Day Zero Update. But basically, the game takes place in Tokyo in the mid-1980s. And it starts out with, like, a fairly kind of, I guess, a kind of standard, like, old-school anime plot. It's a bunch of Japanese high schoolers who, you know, are going about their daily lives, and then all of a sudden a bunch of giant robot kaiju start showing up in the middle of the city. And that's so nice. They have to, yeah, as happens, and
the course of human events.
Yeah. So in order to fight these particular kaiju, they have to do the usual anime trope, which is, say it with me, take command of a giant mech.
Well, I was wondering which trope you were going to.
Well, you got giant monsters. So there's either giant mech or going full Ultraman. So, you know, it's either one of those two. But here's where it gets weird. Because the way this game's story works is it's like 15 different stories all intertwined with each other, all with their own perspectives and parts to play in their story, but not all of them take place in the present day of the game that you're of that particular part of the game. Not all of them are in the 1980s. Huh. Some of them take place in a far off dystopian future that is apparently linked to the events that happen in the 1980s. And are you ready for this shit? Some of it actually takes place during World War II.
Really?
Oh, yes.
That's a bold move.
Oh, yes, it is. And god damn it. So, like, basically, the game has, like, three different sections that more or less gameplay revolves around. There's the remembrance section, which is the, I guess you could call it the sort of adventure slash visual novel part of it. It's, yeah, you know how, like, big, how, like, you know, VanillaWare does, like, their big side-scrolling environments. That's basically what the remembrance part is. It's that particular character that you take control of at that part of the story, going around, interacting with the environment. Depending on what you may say or how long you take to actually do something, it might affect the overall plot. So everything's kind of running around you in real time. For the record, there's also, like, a time travel mechanic that gets involved here, too, but it kind of shows up a little later. The third one is the, I believe, it's called the Destruction, which is, that's the combat. And basically, have you guys ever played any of the Front Mission games before?
Briefly.
Yeah, it's basically Front Mission. Strategic giant mech gameplay, basically. And then there's the, I forget what the third one is called, but it's basically a database. It's like a, I think, yeah, it's the archive. It's called the archive. And it's basically a giant database that collects, like, all the information and specific conversations and stuff that you end up coming in contact with over the course of the game. And it includes a lot of backstory, a lot of world building. But it's important because when the time travel mechanic comes up, some of those conversations will have some key words that you'll need to experience and then you can go back and basically like redo conversations to like take the story off into a different branch. Yeah. Oh yeah, and you got any of you guys who play Dragon's Crown or really any of VanillaWare's games, you know one of the things they love doing that George Kamitani really loves doing is putting in a shit ton of shout outs and references to stuff. Yeah, he pretty much does every anime under the sun in this game, basically. Yeah, you have to play the game, but like, there's one particular character who is almost an XP of Ryuko from Kill la Kill. yeah, it's like that. God damn, this game is good. Yeah, but other than that, I'm still also playing Disgaea 5. Because it's Disgaea, and I like Disgaea, and it's Disgaea. And it's, you know, it's got that weird...
It's pretty self-justifying.
Yeah, Disgaea is self-justifying. You play Disgaea because it's Disgaea. Let's see, what else? Anime, I finished up Psycho Pass, at least the first season. Which is... Damn, that anime is good. I've heard mixed opinions about season 2, but I've also heard good opinions about the movie, so I'll have to watch that as well. I also started up another anime. I may have briefly mentioned this at one time or another, but I'll go ahead and mention again. Cyberpunk anime called No Guns Life. It's basically about... It's basically like a noir story where there's like a dude who's like a private detective, and he's hired by somebody to take on a dangerous job. It just so happens that this private detective has an enormous revolving gun for a head, and the private and the client he takes on happens to be the son of the CEO of this major corporation that is responsible for creating Extend technology, which is basically this universe's version of cybernetics. And they basically control the entire city. It somehow works great. I don't know how, but yeah, like I said, when I say this dude literally has like a gun for a head, I literally mean he has a gun for a head. Look, I'll just post this in the chat here just to tell you what I mean. He legit has like a giant fucking revolver for a head. Yeah. Complete with a trigger and everything. Yeah. Teresa, you accidentally went to the lounge. Or maybe that was intentional.
She's not going to hear you from there.
Oh, boy. Okay. Whatever. We'll see. Get her back. And there we go. Sorry. Sorry. So yeah, that's good. What else? I got the first hardcover edition of the original Captain Harlock manga by Reiji Matsumoto. Oh yeah. You guys know who Reiji Matsumoto is, right? Galaxy Express 999, yep. Captain Harlock, what was it, Command Warrior Zero, or whatever that's called. Space Battleship Yamato, aka Star Blazers. You know, stuff like that. And it's really odd, like, reading his actual manga and comparing it to the anime. Not necessarily because it's bad, but because his art style is really odd. Any guys, obviously, let me put it this way. You guys are Daft Punk fans, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you've seen the videos, right? For yes. One More Time. Yeah, that video was specifically done with Matsumoto's studio. So that's basically like what his character designs look like when they're animated. When he draws them, a lot of them look like a bunch of potato-headed freaks. Just straight up. He has a really odd like character design philosophy. You know, if it's not like the big hero warrior character like Harlock or the tall, willowy female with the hair down to their ankles like, you know, Captain Emeraldus or Mattel or one of those characters, it's usually a short, squat, potato-headed freak. Yeah. And his actual, like, penmanship can come off like a little, not necessarily sketchy, but a little, I don't know the exact term to use. It looks kind of, I want to use the term flowy, but that doesn't really make it clear. Everything kind of looks a little wavy. Let me put it that way. They all look really wavy. Unless, you know, it's one of the giant spaceships or anything, which look fucking spectacular, even to this day. If there is one thing he is amazingly good at, it's drawing those damn spaceships. Whether it be, you know, the frickin' battleship Yamato, which is literally just the actual wreck of the Japanese battleship, World War II battleship Yamato turned into a spaceship. Or like Captain Harlock's Arcadia, which is basically a giant spaceship with like a little pirate ship on the top of it, and it's controlled by like a classic sailor's wheel. It doesn't make any goddamn sense, but it doesn't have to, because it's Matsumoto and he lives off the rule of cool. That's just sort of how his work works. Yeah. I think that's about it. We got anything else we want to add before we move on?
Oh, the game I couldn't remember that I'm absolutely playing this weekend, as long as nobody else is playing it, is Among Us. That's the one that's been all over the memes lately.
I mean, okay. Oh yeah. The weird little potato guys with TVs for heads. Yeah. Or faces. Yeah. It's basically like Fall Guys, or at least visually. All right. Well then, with that, it is now time for everybody to move on to everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And, just a quick question for everyone here. Do you guys ever fall for the whole low fat con
with like? Oh, hell no. Cause it just means that they put a bunch of high fructose corn syrup in it to cover up the bad taste. And fat helps fill you up and keeps you full longer.
Yeah. A lot of people, obviously for those who know now, it is now known and commonly accepted that dietary fat, although not something you should eat in excess, is not really the primary culprit of obesity.
That's all about the sugar.
It's not just the sugar, it's the specifically processed sugar.
Yeah.
When people eat more sugar than the liver can typically process, the body turns it into fat. And creates a lot of
hormonal problems like insulin-resistant receptors.
Yeah. Now, the great thing about sugar is to make something sweet, you actually don't need to add a whole lot to something to make it sweet. Mm-mm. The problem, though, is that for decades here in the United States and for much of the world, we were under the mistaken belief that dietary fat was the primary culprit for obesity. But the thing is, we don't want to get rid of stop eating fat because fat tastes good.
And it's good for your brain.
And it's what makes food taste good. So when you take the fat out of it, the food just tastes worse. So you got to do something to replace all of that and to bring back some flavor. So what the food companies end up doing is putting in a shit ton of sugar and sugar-related substances like high fructose corn syrup, for example, in order to put some flavor back into it. And then they can slap the low-fat or zero-calorie bullshit onto the packaging, and you are none the wiser unless, you know, you actually do some research.
Well, you can taste that crap, too, if it's the unsweetened or the artificial sweetener, man. You could taste that shit a mile away.
Oh, yeah. The reason I bring this up is because, especially like when the 80s came around, we Americans became super fucking health conscious about fat. So low-fat foods were all the rage, you know, shit like, it's kind of the reason why like bacon, so-called bacon mania kind of had to become a thing because
we have to overcorrect.
Yeah.
Right?
Because bacon is delicious, but it's also one of the worst, like, dietary things you could possibly eat in excess. Not because of the fat, but because of all the preservatives and nitrates and shit that goes into creating it. But the thing is, again, like I said earlier, we still want to eat that stuff. Because, again, fat tastes good. So, for years, there have been people trying to come up with a way to create like a fat substitute or, say, a cooking oil or something that doesn't have as much of the fat as we normally think about. Say, a kind of fat that the human body can just naturally flush away.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what I'm fixing to talking about, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Olestra chips, y'all.
Shit's still out there, you guys.
Yes. Okay. So, this shit actually happened when I was a kid. So, I still remember a lot of this. Yeah. Okay. So, back in the 60s, a bunch of chemists came up with a substance that was specifically meant... Well, they were working for, I think it was Procter & Gamble. We're trying to find a way to deliver fat to babies that were underweight. But what happened is they accidentally created a kind of fat that the human body just cannot absorb. And what happens to fat that you can't absorb? It's got to go out of you somehow.
Mm-hmm.
What and is the easiest way?
Yep. And there's only two ways it can come out. Either the way it came in,
else.
Or it sneaks out the back door. And I do mean that sneak part, too. I'll tell you why in a bit. Uh-huh. Okay. So the product they came up with is Olestra. It also goes under other names like Olean, for example. And yeah, it's still on the market in certain places. And when the big food companies, especially Frito-Lay, who are like the big fucking like culprit here, they were like, holy shit, this is like we hit the freaking philosopher's stone here, guys. We can now make our products, which are absolutely delicious and addictive, but loaded with all that awful fat and calories. And we can add all of that fat and calories, but the human body can just
shit it away,
deal with it. So they created the Wow line.
Yes.
And it's called the Wow line for two reasons. One, you would go into the grocery stores and the aisles, and suddenly all of your favorite snacks would have the giant Wow label on the front of it. And then, of course, on the back, you turn it over and there's a fucking Surgeon General's warning. Basically telling you that the product contains Olestra. This is actually what the fucking label said. It said, "This product contains Olestra," in bold. "Olestra may cause abdominal cramping and loose stools. Olestra inhibits the absorption of some vitamins and other nutrients. Vitamins A, D, E, and K have been added."
Mm-hmm.
So they put out Wow Doritos, Wow Lays, Wow Ruffles, and Wow Tostitos. The other reason that it's called Wow is because Wow is less, because then you'd get up in the middle of the night and be like, wow, holy shit! I've got to take a holy shit!
And it's Wow, how much money am I blowing in toilet paper?
Yeah. You see, like I said, the thing about Olestra is it can't really be processed that well by the body. So all that fat's got to go somewhere. And the big problem is Wow has a very bad, the Olestra has a bad tendency of not necessarily making your stools very solid.
Because of all the grease.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So basically you're shitting out a pile of grease.
Ask me how I know.
I don't have to ask you how you know, because I experienced the same stuff.
Oh.
Like I said, I was a kid when all this shit happened. My mom bought us for us because she thought, hey, this will be healthier for you. Nope.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing. Because of that, it wasn't just that you had to go to the bathroom. It's that it usually hit you very, very suddenly. You'd be like sitting down at your desk, maybe, or maybe you're in school, or you're, you know, you're just sitting in front of the TV or something. Then suddenly, bam, you gotta shit.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the worst part is that some of it's already kind of left your body before you make it to the toilet.
It's called prairie dogging.
Well, no, in this case, they use the term anal leakage.
That works, too.
Are we talking butterfish now, too?
No, we're talking, calling it shit might be inaccurate at that point, irresponsible.
Yeah.
It's more like your ass threw up.
Yeah.
Similar level of urgency, too.
Yeah. Also, other phrases that were used are oily discharge.
Mm-hmm.
And,
these are just grand.
Fecal foam is another one I heard.
Yeah.
I
mean, not inaccurate, but
yeah. Yeah. It basically, now, here's the thing. In spite of all that, this shit sold like crazy.
It certainly did.
The first year this stuff went on the market, they topped over $340 million in sales.
Like,
even though people were going out and basically anal vomiting the shit into the toilet. That's a phrase I just made up.
And it's extremely accurate, unfortunately.
Yeah. People kept buying them because they were like, hey, you know, I'm basically shitting my insides out, but hey, at least I get to, I keep to not, you know, not going up a couple pounds. Now, part of the problem also with this is the reason the FDA agreed to even let this shit go out in the first place was because the food companies had convinced them that the cramping only happens if you eat too much. And unfortunately, never ever give the American people the benefit of the doubt. They will only disappoint you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah. They thought that the average consumer would only eat less than 7 grams of Olestra per day, which is roughly about just 8 chips.
Oh, scientists, you don't know America very well, do you?
Yeah, that's. I can tell you from personal experience, nobody ever stops at 8 chips.
Yeah, I want to know.
You can literally only like put 8 chips in a. You can only put literally just put 8 baggies. And take a baggie and put 8 chips in it with your kid's school lunch, and he will just eat the fucking bag afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really want to know what the reaction from the medical or the science community was when they found out what people were actually consuming.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you know what other big company decided to experiment with Olestra?
The paint companies.
Well, yeah, them, but I was thinking more food-related.
Oh. What?
Taco Bell.
Oh, Lord.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, you've had Taco Bell before. You know what usually happens afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But
so now put Olestra into the equation.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Okay, I'm really glad that in 2020 bidets are popular. Because we apparently learned from our mistakes in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're probably wondering, like, what eventually happened to this stuff. For one thing, it's still, you will still find it used with Pringles.
Mm-hmm. Their fat-free stuff still has it.
Yep. It's basically the only chip on the market here in the U.S. that still uses it. But yeah, Pringles still uses it. Lay's also uses it for their light potato chips as well.
Yeah.
So
Tostino's used to use it for their fat-free tortilla chips, obviously. Mm.
However, yeah, mostly like Teresa mentioned earlier, Procter & Gamble mostly sees Alestra as more of a paint additive now than anything else. That was the mid-90s when Americans were so just could not get off the chip dick. but yet wanted to be fat-free so bad that they were willing to shit their guts out in order to accomplish it.
It's also still available in pill form.
Yes, it is. And that has been yet another edition.
It's from Shellfish.
Yeah. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid.
A very greasy edition.
Yeah.
See, the problem is it just gave everybody in America the idea of what it feels like to be lactose intolerant.
Yeah, no. That's actually accurate.
Yeah.
Because, again,
where every meal is a roll of the die.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That is very accurate, actually. It's very similar.
Yeah.
The symptoms are actually almost a mirror image of lactose intolerance. Yeah. The anal cramping, the diarrhea, yeah.
Yep. Bad time.
Cramping.
Bad.
I meant abdominal cramping. God
well,
damn it.
Yeah, we got
I mean, there's
it,
still
but...
going to be some anal cramping. It's just not.
Depends how much of it you have.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so with that out of the way, it is now time to start the show proper. And as always, we have to start the show proper with the assholes of the week. And we have five of them, ladies and gentlemen, so get ready. First assholes of the week, the Justice Department, who have decided to label the cities of New York City, Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington as, quote, anarchy jurisdictions.
Now let me tell you how this shit is gonna backfire if they decide to stop giving federal aid to, let's take New York City, for example, because it is the fucking biggest.
Yep.
Like, for every dollar of tax that they get in aid, or for their, well, not even in aid, but as part of their budget, as part of their stuff, because they're part of fucking America, it's almost like $3 that they give to. So, you want to watch Kentucky go under? Fuck with New York City. You want to watch, Alabama? Fucking almost every red state go under? Fuck with New York City. Because if they decide to just stop paying taxes, which is kind of hard because we have the IRS, but if they decide to stop funneling their taxes from their employees and their sales and everything to the federal government, just fuck with them.
Yeah, and it's convenient that other places that have had civil unrest like Wisconsin, Minnesota, aren't seeing any of these charges.
Or Louisville.
They're going after specific, like, blue cities and areas.
Yeah.
That's
my design.
Yeah, they're going after ones that are going to make their little cult followers go, yay, those assholes, they fucking deserve it. They deserve every harsh, horrible thing that ever happens to them because they're subhuman and we're not. Because everybody's playing the us against them game. And I'm just so goddamn sick of it. And I know the rest of you guys have got to be too. So goddamn sick of it. The coast versus the middle. The rural versus the city. Can we just fucking stop? You know, the white versus the brown.
Yeah.
Just so
it's like we're all
evangelical Christian versus everybody else.
Yeah. Because all the other Christians are wrong too, don't you know? They don't even consider Catholics as Christians.
Nope.
And they fucking started the religion.
Yeah.
What is this shit? You guys
well,
didn't come
actually,
along until
I think technically the Ethiopian Orthodox technically actually gets that particular, but the point still stands. Yeah,
yeah, they did have their schism. That is true.
Mm.
Just you know, wow. So yeah, So they're trying to paint Portland, Seattle, and New York City again as horrible places. Well, you know what? Maybe they're not. Maybe you're being lied to.
Yeah. And I'm hoping after the election, whatever spell he has the country under will start to wane somewhat.
I don't know, man.
But speaking of bullshit, in Louisville, the establishment basically said, yeah, it's perfectly okay to just randomly, for cops to randomly kill people.
They absolutely did.
Because none of the officers in Louisville who were responsible for the killing of Breonna Taylor, I'm going to rephrase that, responsible for the murder of Breonna Taylor, is going to be charged for it. The only charge that's going is from one individual for wanton endangerment.
For shooting into adjoining apartments.
Yeah.
So literally the walls of her apartment got justice and she didn't.
Nope.
Yeah.
And so Louisville is currently on fire.
Yeah.
And it should be.
Yeah.
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 Which prompted the whole...
And it is right there at the feet of the DA.
Yep.
Prompted a whole weird thing where some protesters pooled their money together, get a U-Haul to transport their supplies, and people instantly went into conspiracy mode, like, who paid for the U-Haul? It's like, they're not
like
fucking 40 expensive.
Bucks.
Yeah.
Card can get a U-Haul. That's like 80% of the whole fucking nation.
Because there's also they started showing that, I think it was in Portland, demonstrators started throwing Molotov cocktails at police officers. And so now they're like, where did they get the gas?
Did you guys see
it off from one of their cars or something.
Right? Did you guys see
the video? It might not even be gas. It might be alcohol.
There's this new thing in 2020. It's called gas in a bag, apparently, because some worker from Kroger went to their gas pumps and got filmed pumping gas into Kroger bags. And about by the third one, she had it like triple wrapped. She just stuck it in her trunk and drove away. And I'm like, holy shit. Yeah, maybe she was going to make one.
Yeah.
I think they could go in a better plastic container, don't you guys? And the first one popped a leak. And it was just like...
Also, you don't really need, like, a whole lot of gasoline to make, like, a dozen cocktails. Like, maybe a gallon or two.
But yeah, they found the link from the U-Hauls to George Soros, so... You know.
Of course.
I mean, there's always 6 degrees of separation for everything, right?
Yep. Well, the Secretary of Education, Ms. DeVos, she's under investigation for Hatch Act violations after she gave an interview on Fox News.
Good.
Yeah, though nothing really happened. She was very much critical of Biden on Fox News. Which then got posted on the Education Department's YouTube page in full. So essentially kind of department's material.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a whole bunch of people out there that are not paying attention to how much government interference there is in our national archives and research places. You know, like the CDC.
Yeah.
How much is being controlled and how horribly, horribly close we are to a totalitarian government, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're closer to that than further away.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets worse every fucking hour.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of it getting worse, the Pentagon used most of its $1 billion COVID-19 budget on defense contractors.
Oh, yeah.
So they put it into the pockets of the 1%.
Yep.
How much was that bailout of Wall Street twice this spring? Yeah. And how much of it went to us?
About jack squat.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Fucking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere in the neighborhood of precisely Dick.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing about people always wonder, like, you know, why is it that the U.S. has this gargantuan military budget to the point that even the Pentagon themselves will, like, get on their knees and beg them to stop giving them money? It's because most of it's not for the soldiers or the officers or the brass or really even for their equipment or their weapons or their facilities. No, it's mostly giant fucking handouts to the defense contractors.
Mm-hmm. It's all Halliburton.
Yeah, that protect that.
Or Lockheed Martin or all of those other companies. Yeah. And finally,
it says here that about $688 million of that $1 billion has at least been picked for the defense industry. So,
yeah, that's about two-thirds.
Yeah,
I mean,
I gotta admit, it was pretty fun taking Halliburton for a ride earlier this year.
Yeah,
Too bad it didn't last longer.
And finally, because of course he himself had to show up here, Trump basically took out a play from the 2016 playbook, and he's basically refused to commit to a peaceful transition of power after Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those of you who remember back in 2016 when it was still up and when, you know, before the election happened, he pulled this same shit, too. You know, he was basically leaving it up in the air to try and bring some distrust and ambiguity to the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, though he didn't have power then.
No. But now he actually does have power, and that's why people are shitting their pants in terror.
Yeah. Basically was asked if he would commit to providing a peaceful transition of power. He said, well, we're going to see what happens. Also got on the topic of the ballots, because he said, you know that I've been complaining very strongly about the ballots. The ballots are a disaster. Get rid of the ballots and you'll have a very, well, there won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation. The ballots are about out of control.
Yeah, basically he's saying, nope, I don't want to leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then conveniently, Senator Rick Scott proposed a bill called the Voter Act that would require votes to be counted within 24 hours of the election or be thrown out, which is a very blatant way of saying what you want to say is, like, we want this all done ASAP, or else it shouldn't count.
Mm-hmm. For the record, it's not going to be done ASAP, because on top of people who will be voting in person, we're also having the largest amount of mail-in ballots than we've had in our country's history that will be going. So probably the earliest we're going to find out the election results, I'm putting it, is probably early the following week.
The earliest.
Yeah, that's the earliest I'm putting it. Because there's going to be a lot of fucking shenanigans that are going to happen in between that time. Because the administration is going to use every fucking tool they got to try and... Like, I am legit expecting to see something somewhat similar to the bullshit from the 2000 election.
Yeah.
And, that's important because we got to talk. We're going to be talking about the Supreme Court in a little bit. And Supreme Court was ultimately the ones that gave it to Bush Jr. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm saying that because I no longer have any optimism for the American experiment left in me, other than full blown tear it all down, fire up the guillotines revolution.
Yeah.
But I am willing to be proven wrong. So, America, you got your homework for the next couple weeks. But the good thing is we do have some heroes of the week. And the first one is the folks in Brooklyn who are renaming a municipal building after Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and we'll also be adding a statue of her as well. So yep. That's neat.
Mm-hmm.
And also, after the sad death of Chadwick Boseman, an artist unveiled a Black Panther mural at Disneyland, which shows Chadwick Boseman and a young African-American child wearing a Black Panther mask giving the Wakanda Forever salute.
Yeah, it has who's in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Showing like one of the more striking images of him in his last couple years is him visiting kids that had cancer at St. Jude.
Mm-hmm.
While he was kind of waging his own battle against it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called King Chad.
Yep. Yay.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Yeah, it is. It's a damn good mural. Simple and yet lots of pathos.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on from there, we now have the proper show proper, and we're basically going to only peek open the garage for the COVID-19 dump truck because we've only got one thing for it this week. Other than the sudden spike in the Midwest that's happened recently. In fact, I think it was in, was it North Dakota or South Dakota?
Which, South.
Yeah, South Dakota. It's spiked, basically, and is now the major, the sort of epicenter at the moment. But worldwide, there are now 32.3 million cases with 987,000 deaths. But in the United States specifically, there are 7 million cases, and we hit the over 200,000 mark this week. It is now at 203,000 deaths.
Yeah, and I think the people that did the model that would suggest we would hit 200,000 by October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Pointed us to, I think, about 416,000 by Inauguration Day.
Mm. Yeah.
So we're still not even like halfway to where that would be in just three, 4 short months.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wonderful. All right. So we're going to close back the garage. We'll have another load for you next week. Hopefully it will be relatively small, but we're in the middle of autumn now, and winter is coming up fast, so
it really is, and I'm staggered that our administration doesn't seem to even acknowledge this really staggering loss. I mean, of life. That's like losing all of Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. The entire, every single living soul, human soul in Richmond or Des Moines. These are not small numbers.
No.
These are not small numbers.
Yeah. It was sort of one of the things I saw people wondering is like, are we even going to have a memorial for these people when this is all
depending on who ends up getting elected, we will. Like, we'll end up having like a memorial, maybe a memorial or like a statue or something in D.C. Maybe a museum.
Yeah.
COVID-19 museum. But then it would end up having to be basically an adjacent room of the Museum of Donald Trump Administration Atrocities.
Which I'm sure is also coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's not that much longer before Halloween, we're going to hit the entire population of Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Madison, Wisconsin, even. We're not far off.
In November, people, it's important. People's lives are literally on the line here.
Every life.
Yeah.
And that's the part people don't seem to get.
Yeah. Speaking of election, we now got our 2020 U.S. election watch. We are now, let's see, we're now like less than 6 weeks away now, I think. Let's see.
39 days.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, we're less than 6 weeks. Let's do it.
Yeah. It is coming up fast, people. Now, I wonder, have any of you, some of you guys, I'm sure, have already done early voting, right? Like, I know, Teresa, you have.
I haven't yet. I'm tracking my ballot in the mail.
Okay.
And it got mailed out on the 24th, which feels like a lifetime ago, but that was just yesterday.
Yeah.
So much has happened since yesterday.
Yeah.
And I am not sure if I am going to actually mail it in because I can track it, or if I'm going to go to early voting and turn it in and do in-person voting.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my two options right now.
Yeah, I'm I will be voting in person on November 3rd. And I will be wearing a mask and probably a pair of gloves.
Goggles, too.
And if any fucking, you know, neck-bearded cracker wants to get in my way, well, he's going to experience one hell of a Georgia beatdown. You will see me on the news. I will probably be on WorldStar. Yeah. But anyway, as we said at the top of the show, Trump has got a bunch of nominees to fill Ginsburg's seat in the Supreme Court, and we now know which one he's probably going to nominate, a woman by the name of Amy Coney Barrett, who happens to be a member of a religious sect that actually inspired The Handmaid's Tale. And I don't mean that flippantly. I mean, it is literally the group that inspired Margaret Atwood to write The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
You gotta scream that from the rooftops.
Yeah. This is just scientifically, like, designed for shit like this.
Yeah, I saw somebody going
over. She's about as reactionary as you can get.
Yeah, going over past decisions she's had, and it's all just no.
Mm-hmm.
To any notable topic, it's like, that's great. She's very open-minded.
She is a roadblock.
Yeah. Which means we're probably going to have to stuff the Supreme Court after this election.
Well,
it's probably going to go from 9 justices to 11.
It's really bad.
I like Teresa's idea.
Yeah, it's either going to be 13 or 25 in my mind, goddammit. Go big or go home. But, you guys might be too young. When, what was his name? Thurgood Marshall?
Yeah.
When it was time for him to go, they're doing kind of the same thing. Oh, let's put another black guy in there. And we got fucking Clarence Thomas. Yeah. And all of the hearings that went along with him. And it's like they're trying to, oh, well, you know, one woman's as good as the other. They're created equal.
Mm-mm.
There is no comparison between Barrett and Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
No.
I don't even know if they're from the same continent, really. I mean... I want to say they're not from the same planet. It feels like they're so different.
No.
And I don't know.
I believe she's a fellow from the Federalist Society.
Yep.
So that's basically a giant fucking alarm bell.
Yeah, that's kind of one of Trump's things. He just has a list from them.
Yeah.
Well, and he's again pandering to his cult because she could be instrumental in the religious right honestly taking over the nation.
Yes.
You know, as long
as... Which is what you alluded to.
Yeah. But, again, that only happens if he gets reelected. So...
Yeah.
You know, they seem dead set on getting this in there as fast as possible.
Oh, yeah, Mitch McConnell, next up, he says he wants to fast-track the vote, even though, well, no, you know what, no, fuck it, he doesn't have a spine, and he has no ethics or morals, so,
he's jealous because she's flopping in the wind.
Yeah.
Well, isn't he still hiding in his house right now?
Hopefully he doesn't come back out.
Well, we couldn't be that lucky.
But yeah, he is hiding in his house right now, because he knows what the fuck this is going to cause. But he doesn't care. He literally does not care.
Yeah.
And like none of these people care. None of these seem to have the amount of vision to realize that this is not going to end well for any of them.
Yeah.
Nope.
Like they're on this high or this of something. about this burst of power that they've got right now. And maybe it's like they're on their last hit, and now they're been reduced to giving hand jobs in an alleyway.
Maybe they're as delusional as we were when we really, really thought that Hillary Clinton had it in the bag.
Maybe. That's kind of what I want to hope, because that would mean they would end up losing badly.
But,
yeah. And then, of course, Susan Collins showed up very concerned, saying she wants to wait for the next president to fill the SCOTUS vacancy. But Susan Collins is also a spineless worm creature, so who fucking gives shit what she has to say?
She's not even up for fucking re-election. That was a ploy on the part of the Republicans to take her and the other two least likely to amount to anything or be damaged by their stance and say that they're going to go against the vote. And in the 11th fucking hour, just like the Republicans always fucking do, they're going to change their vote and vote for it and affirm it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but...
But those of y'all who live in her district, vote her, who live in her constituency, vote for her opponent, please.
She's not even up for re-election, I think. I'm pretty sure she's out. Like, this is it. This is her last...
Well, good. Then maybe they can fire her out of a goddamn cannon.
Yeah, because right now she's gonna take one for the team along with
she is historically low numbers in her state right now. She is among the most unpopular senators right now in the United States. I think she's the most unpopular.
And McConnell knows she has nothing to lose, and they have no face to lose by letting her go around saying and giving the Democrats false hope that. Yep.
Also, here's a news flash. Lindsey Graham is a hypocrite.
Shocking.
No. Yeah. You don't say.
Yeah.
No real surprise, but yeah. There's the video clip of him saying, show me this in 2020 if Trump wins and we have another situation like this happening.
So they showed it to him, and he said, no, I'm going to let him go ahead and do it.
And he's basically like, well, the situation's different this time around. It's like, yeah.
No, it's not.
We've never had somebody die weeks before the election instead of like 10 months beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah. And different. Do you know what some of our wonderful fellow Americans, because there are a few of them out there, did? Monday morning? 6 fucking a.m., they showed up with, like, drums and air horns and started chanting outside of his townhouse. Because they're like, we can't sleep over this shit. Why the fuck should he?
Yeah.
And they were calling him a two-faced coward. They were calling him a hypocrite. And you know what? He deserved those chants just as much as Trump deserved the ones that he got when he went to pretend to pay his respects for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Did you guys hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
man, that chant went real quick. Everybody was in on that.
Now back to my home state of Georgia. Senator Kelly Loeffler, who is running against Doug Collins, she put out a new ad this week. You guys ever heard that whole joke about how somebody says, I'm to the right of Genghis Khan or something like that?
Okay.
Well, she mistaked Genghis Khan for Attila the Hun, and
that infamous character that everybody knows deeply about without having to Wikipedia him,
Or maybe having played Civilization. They're both in there.
Yeah. So basically, it's an ad where there's like an old couple reading a newspaper, and the dad and the husband says, she's to the right of Attila the Hun. And then there's a flashback to a guy that's supposed to be Attila the Hun.
He's a white guy.
Obviously. Which is not. Attila the Hun was East Asian. But he was.
It's close enough for these races.
He was a person of the steppes. Basically. So, him and the Khans all sort of the same gene pool. And so he's transcribing. He's talking to his transcriber, and it's not like human speech. It's like, ooh, you know, like weird Conan bullshit.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, big government bad, got it. Low taxes, got it. And then he points out, get rid of liberal reporters, and then the transcriber's like, uh-oh.
Oh, God.
Also, like, her tag is the most conservative senator in America. Because I think she just votes whatever Trump wants.
Yeah. Because she has no ideas of her own, like pretty much every other conservative in the United States.
Yeah.
It's my state, people.
Again, she never got voted into this position.
Nope. It was appointed.
So this is her running for elected office.
Yep.
At least this high of an office.
Mm-hmm. So, and then finally, Cindy McCain endorsed Joe Biden.
Yep.
To which yep. Trump attacked her.
Yeah.
So, you know, just in case. Do you want to know where that was? He said, I hardly know Cindy McCain other than having put her on a committee at her husband's request. Joe Biden was John McCain's lapdog. Mm-hmm. So many bad decisions on endless wars and the VA, which I brought from a horror show to high approval. Never a fan of John. Cindy can have Sleepy Joe.
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting there attacking a widow. Person. You know, just like he did with Steve Jobs' widow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the Gold Star family. He just loves attacking actual heroes and their families.
You guys,
he's just such an awful fucking person.
Well, you guys know the military, they're already having their talks about what they're going to do and what their actions are going to be and who they're going to back and what's going to happen for many contingencies here. The least of
let me put it this way. The military really does not like him and they want him gone as soon as possible.
No, and they have no loyalty to him. It's the Constitution to which they owe their loyalty.
I want to say it was one of his.
When you look at it that way, it makes it a surprise that he hasn't been taken out by now.
I know, because he wipes his ass with the Constitution every fucking day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was somebody from his National Security Council that was in the military sort of said, yeah, we're voting for Biden. that, you know, worked with him a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Which says a lot, as well as, you know, they know that he's bullshit. He doesn't like the military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it really does say a lot. Like you said, he was in Trump's arena. He fucking hates him so much he's voting for Biden and publicly supporting him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, are we going to see a coup? And by coup, I don't mean like Trump is going to try and coup. I mean the military will actually just straight up depose him.
I think that they are already prepared for that eventuality. But I think that, you know, if they go after Mr. Bone Spurs here, because he won't get out of the White House, they'll just drag him out by his nasty.
That will be the greatest fucking piece of newsreel footage ever filmed.
We never said it would be a bloody coup. It would just be kind of a pathetic spectacle.
It will definitely go into the spank bank, that is for sure.
Yeah, it'll be a toddler having a temper tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like dragging them out of Walmart when you won't let them get candy.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on from there. A judge has ordered Eric Trump to appear for a deposition by October 7th for the New York Attorney General.
And the political cartoons are already so good about this.
Oh, yeah.
This is the stupidest person we've ever had on the stand.
Mm.
This is grand. I mean, what if they declare him unfit to stand trial because he's just too fucking dumb?
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
I can only think of the SNL bits with Junior and Eric.
Yeah.
When I hear his name. It's like, oh, the unfortunate son there.
Mm-hmm. And they snuck him into South Park too, or at least a caricature of him. It's dead on him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that horrible mouth and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if you're gonna be unfortunate enough to be dumb, at least be, you know, a fun person, so a smiley person, so people will like you.
Yeah, so they his attorney, Eric Trump, requested to have this done after the election, but the judge had none of that, saying that so the argument to delay providing testimony was unpersuasive because, quote, neither the petitioner nor this court is bound by timelines of the national election. The New York Attorney General's office on Wednesday had sought to compel testimony from Eric Trump as part of an investigation of whether the Trump Organization improperly inflated certain assets to obtain tax benefits they otherwise would not have been entitled to receive.
Going down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to go and sit there and deal with his bullshit.
Just stop. I can only get so erect. Seriously.
Yeah.
He's fine. It's just, oh God. You know what? After the election and it's finally official and he's gone and I will never have, we will be in the post Trump era. I'm probably going to have to stay in bed for like a week.
Until you find out that they're going to give them all a fucking show again. Every last one of them.
You know what? I'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, no, they can't do that if he's rotting in The Hague.
True.
Yeah.
We need them to also turn it up on the investigation into the NRA, because they've been tweeting out a lot of bullshit this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, one here says, ammo sales surge 139%. That's a lot of freedom seeds.
Mm-hmm. And everybody has had a lot of fun making memes about the freedom seeds.
Yeah.
And also where they get planted.
Yeah, also trying to drum up fear-mongering. See, if Joe Biden wins, Mike Bloomberg wins, and Beto O'Rourke will be knocking on your door for your AR-15.
Mm-hmm.
To which a lot of women are like, oh, I'm looking forward to that. let's see, I'm looking for some comments here. Oh, it's like, ooh, that's one of the people on my list. That kind of stuff. Here's one. Sold. Better rock at my door is this election season's taco trucks in every corner. The scary things that fill me with delight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's a little stringy looking.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Moving on from there. Fox News basically were able to get a lawsuit thrown out because in the deposition they argued that no reasonable viewer could take Tucker Carlson seriously.
Well, that's great. That's a legal precedent. Does that mean they have to show that disclaimer at the top of every show?
Well, they don't advertise to the reasonable viewer.
Yeah,
exactly.
The audience is the unreasonable viewer.
Exactly. Are they using the same kind of textbook for lawyers that the Trump administration is using when they're saying, well, he couldn't have raped his wife because raping wives wasn't legal that year.
Mm-hmm.
He's so fucking old that it was still legal to rape his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to shut up about that because I'm going to get mad.
Yeah.
I'm going to get real mad.
But anybody says something about Tucker Carlson, like, you know, who's a fan he is, just put this in their face.
Yeah.
Every time.
I don't know, man.
Debate or discuss, just take this in the face.
I think I'm going to start carrying around a lemon and a knife so I can cut a lemon in half and just shove the lemon in their mouth.
Yeah.
Every time they say Tucker Carlson, here's another fucking lemon.
Yeah.
Go have it.
And this was a defamation lawsuit brought by Karen McDougal for that whole story. Alleged that in her suit late last year, that Fox host Tucker Carlson slandered her by calling the payout a classic case of extortion.
He's a bastard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. The judge said that lawyers for Fox persuasively argued that, quote, any reasonable viewer arrives with an appropriate amount of skepticism about the statement Carlson makes.
Yeah, no. That's not his viewers at all. They take his word as gospel.
Yeah. The judge said,
and that's why they need that. They need to rule that that disclaimer has to be shown at the top of every show and the bottom of every show, just to hammer that point home that this is not news.
Yeah, though that may be the Fox News icon on there.
The reason they've never been able to spread into outside of the United States, because they, you know, because of the inordinate amount of opinion material on that station, they cannot be effectively classified outside of the United States as a news station.
God, imagine them trying to appeal to other markets.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the Murdoch Empire is craven enough to do that, but they just won't succeed.
They don't have enough advertisers for that.
Yeah.
MyPillow only gets them so far.
Yeah. And when Trump's gone.
Well, there goes that gravy train.
Yep. Speaking of gravy trains, TikTok is still going to be able to stay on theirs because the ban for TikTok has been averted after they made a deal with both Oracle and Walmart.
So, yeah, I will remind you that my kid is quite young still. And while he's learning his critical thinking, he still has a little ways to go, as we all did when we were freshly 13. Yep. He heard the news, and he ran into the room to my desk and said, Mom, guess what? Oracle and Walmart bought TikTok, so can I re-download it? And I'm like, oh, hell no, because all that software and the underlying network is still existing until they tear it completely down and code it from the ground up. It's you're still not safe.
No.
You also have to ask him to tell you what Oracle's famous for without looking it up.
I know, because he fucking not know, and it makes me crazy, because I grew up when they were the kings. They ruled the industry. But
yeah. So I think there's still finalization on this deal through the Chinese government. So there's still some stuff to finalize on this, but yeah, this seems likely it's going to happen, but who knows?
Yep.
And now, all the way to Vietnam. Vietnam's a lovely country. Lovely people there. Food's great. I know some people who live there. And they love it there. Some of them are American expats. They love it there. But Vietnam, like any other country undergoing industrial progress, you're going to have your con artists and your people with get-rich-quick schemes. And this week, the authorities in Vietnam found a factory that was recycling used condoms to resale.
An STD in every box?
Mm.
That's just disgusting. They found over 250,000 of them there?
Yep.
250,000 of them.
Uh-huh.
And a reshaper tool, by the way. Just when you thought your job couldn't get any worse.
Yeah.
We're just going to let that one marinate
a little bit.
No, putting aside the hygienic questions about this, which are numerous, wouldn't that be uncomfortable as fuck?
Only if you didn't know otherwise.
I mean, if they dip it in a little Nanoxinol 9, if that's still a thing, and, bleh. Sorry. I just can't help but seeing the, what is that, the clear lemon pie with the meringue on top? Have you guys seen that picture?
Yeah.
Both of them are just as disgusting in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Do not associate this with food, you guys. Just don't do it. Don't go down that horrible path my brain took. Can you imagine the smell?
Clear lemon marine pie. Oh, God, that's horrifying.
Right? I mean,
it's basically just gelatin, but.
Right? The cow slobber on top is still the same. And it's as disgusting as it is.
It looks wrong.
It's very wrong. very wrong. But yeah, and both of them, well, I guess I would rather smell the clear lemon meringue pie more than the factory.
Mm-hmm.
Vietnam.
Yeah.
Valid.
Yeah.
Where they used condoms that they were cleaning and repackaging. Now get out of my room.
Mm-hmm. Like, what's next? Soft serve?
Oh! God! Oh, God.
Yeah. All right, moving on from there, we are now going into the entertainment part of the show. And first and foremost, HBO Max is developing a series inspired by Rashomon, the classic Akira Kurosawa film that takes story ideas from two different stories by the classic Japanese short story author. Fuck, what's his name? God damn it, I hate when this shit happens because I'm... hold on. Because I fucking read this just the other day, and I can't... Let's see. Ryunosuke Akutagawa. That's the guy. The story In a Grove, and the title and framing story, which is Rashomon. Do you guys know what Rashomon actually is?
No.
Okay, so you guys know about the Heian period in Japan? It's the one that sort of precedes what would become the feudal era and the rise of the modern shogunate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Basically, it was the Imperial House of Japan supposedly had power, but the real power was an aristocratic family who had intermarried with the imperial family called the Fujiwara. And the thing about it was that, so the original city, the capital for the Heian period was Heian-kyo, which was the, it's now located in what is now modern day Kyoto. Rashomon was the name given for the enormous gate that you had to go through in order to enter the city.
Oh.
Yeah. It was the southern gate, actually. It's not there anymore. But basically the reason it sort of got a reputation was because as it was the southern gate, it was the largest and most opulent looking gate that you used to get into the city. But obviously the Heian period ended and eventually the seat of the government moved to Edo. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, you know, it'd make its way to what we now call Tokyo.
Well, it was Tokyo, so.
Yeah. And because of that, that basically meant that the Heian-kyo, which had formerly been the seat of power, basically went into decay. So by the time of the Tokugawa shogunate, the city had basically fallen to pieces. And was basically inhabited only by, like, really poor people and bandits. And Rashomon was infamous because since it was such a large gate, but was completely dilapidated and had, like, all these little crevices and shit in it, people started using it to hide dead bodies inside of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Seems legit.
Yeah. Because Japan.
Well.
Yeah. For this adaptation, they're not going to do a direct adaptation of it, but they will retain the key plot device.
Mm-hmm.
It is described as a drama centering around a grisly sexual assault murder, mm-hmm. unraveling mysteries seen through multiple characters' competing narratives.
Mm-hmm.
Which really sounds like that'll work pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Rashomon is one of Kurosawa's best movies, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah.
Moving on from there. There's going to be a spinoff series from Suicide Squad called Peacemaker, and it was ordered also by HBO Max.
Yeah, this is the character that's played by John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8 episodes.
Insert meme here.
Yeah. it was described as an action-adventure comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Exact plot of the series being kept under wraps, but said to explore the origins of Peacemaker. Man who believes in peace at any cost, no matter how many people he has to kill to get it.
Mm-hmm.
production's going to start early next year. Partagon starting work on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Suicide Squad's supposedly going to be released in August of 2021.
Yep. All right. Awesome. Next up.
I hear some entertainment news, though. You know?
Yeah.
I'm afraid that, you know. Show. Right? Yeah. And we've had such a dry spell on stuff, too.
Yeah.
Which, you know, with what's going on, there's no, you know, we understand why, but.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, now that most of the world has managed to deal with that shit, they're finally sort of coming back out and starting to produce again.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we should like try to follow up on our actors, the American actors at least that we know about who have coronavirus and see how they're doing, because there was somebody, Pattinson, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Robert Pattinson. We should follow up on that every now and again and see how they're doing.
Yeah. All right. More news. Supergirl on the CW will be ending after the 6th season.
Yep. Production on Supergirl curtain call is set to begin later this month. The writers already started developing storylines for the final 20 episodes. Network is aiming to premiere the 6th and final season sometime in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a shame, but it's, these shows can't go on forever.
They've had a good run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it managed to take a fairly obscure DC character in spite of the pedigree and made it popular. So,
yeah, which has been kind of one of the hallmarks of these CW shows.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, has been canceled on Netflix after one season.
That's a shame. It was a good season.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know necessarily.
Honestly, the Dark Crystal is like a great universe to do stories in, but for whatever reason, it always like goes over budget or it just doesn't get the kind of viewership it needs.
Yeah.
Just doesn't take for one reason or another.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a good show. It kind of just leads up to the start of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm not sure what like a second season would have been if it would have just started after the movie,
maybe,
or something. I don't know.
Possibly. It's also possible that they'll make like a sequel series that takes place after the movie, call it something different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see them staying away from that forever.
Yeah, what was neat about the Netflix series was that they made a really good use of both like puppetry and CG. And the CG and the puppetry was so good that it was actually kind of hard to tell which was which.
Yeah.
But, yeah. All right. Well, then, I do believe we've got ourselves a show, folks. So,
yeah.
I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you've got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or basically any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not there yet, just wait a few minutes. We will eventually. We are inevitable.
Hmm.
We're like Thanos. Except we won't be getting billions of dollars at the box office. Anyway, with that, I have been your host, Brandon Perkins. Join us next week. For Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Elogia, good night, sleep tight. I'm going to go back and play some more 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim. And remember, as we will continue to remember, to remind you for the next couple of weeks,
vote
in November.